There's a swing and a high fly ball deep right field. Slater is back. He's looking up, and it's gone. And Brandon Marsh with a long-awaited home run for him, his fourth of the year. It's another two-run homer for the Phillies, who now lead it 6-0.
Well, Brandon Marsh had a big old game. He was Johnny B. Good last night,
John. Defensively, he was great in the first inning.
First inning was incredible.
Oh my
so
God.
If you missed it, he had an outstanding catch.
A new haircut.
Yeah. Outstanding catch for the, was it the first out of the inning or the second? The
one made all three outs.
Well, he did. Yeah, but outstanding. The first one going to his right, tracked the ball well, kind of back to his right. But then the one when he went to his left was unbelievable. Yeah, that was the second out of the inning. And then the third out, a routine out to close it down. He was great. And then
he's
the home run
with
later.
A lot of confidence right now.
He is.
He's feeling pretty good. He said it's because Matt Strom's dad cut his hair.
Yep.
Got like the beard groomed up and the haircut. He feels good. He's playing great. And I don't know, it does kind of makes me feel good. Doesn't assuage like my feelings that we need help in the outfield. We still need a huge bat.
Well, here's where Marsh can still play a big role in this whole thing. If they get a center fielder, Marsh could be the left fielder to replace Kepler.
Would love it. But
big time.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, or vice versa. You might have to play Marsh in center.
Or you might have to play Marsh in center. That's exactly right.
Right. Yeah. 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 The opposite could be.
All right, Seltzer, so our Twitter poll question. Field. Are they going to make a meaningful trade today?
No. I think tomorrow. Look, the fact that we are sitting here on July 30th and like the biggest names that have been traded are Sir Anthony and Josh Naylor and stuff like that. Like there is always.
And Gregory Soto.
And yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like there's always a big trade or two or three by this time. Usually like you talk about the 29th with Ruben on.
Yeah,
like the fact that it's been so quiet so far is fascinating. It feels like it has to be that the prices are so high and there's a gap, but I think it's going to come down to the wire.
Are you smarter than a 12th grader? We'll find that out. And by the way, you can play along while we play and see if you're better than our contestant or me when we have that game coming up in about 10 minutes. And also Salisbury, something he said about the upcoming trade deadline. We'll get to that shortly. 215-592-9494. And let me go on the record and say, Seltzer, I don't appreciate how you turned this tennis thing around against me last segment.
Well, it's not my fault. I'm just using your own
word. How is it my fault?
Because you said that.
If I were you, I would postpone it.
I would. From a legal standpoint, if I was the management of WIP, I would have postponed
it. You had the opportunity to say, let's play. And you didn't. Like it's very simple.
Do you blame the Eagles players from 2010? Do you blame DeSean Jackson when that game got postponed? Got postponed to a Tuesday.
Did they ask DeSean Jackson, do you think we should postpone it? And he said yes, and they took his opinion? Then maybe, I probably would lay down.
Should we postpone it? Joe, do you want to play or should we postpone it? If I were you, I would postpone it.
Yeah, but I also said I'm ready to play.
No, you didn't. Come on.
You think that was a throwaway?
Yeah, of course it was. Listen, I'll play butt. The butt is the important part.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to JC in Haddonfield. JC, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, JC?
What's up, JC?
How you doing, guys? I'm going to start by saying something that's probably going to make the camera peacock a little bit.
Ooh,
but
good.
I don't think you're going to be peacocking at the end of the call.
Okay.
I would say initially, yes, radio station can be sued
for exposing
listeners and participants to dangerous conditions, right? We live in a very litigious society. You can be sued for anything, basically. There are steps, however, that WIP could have taken. Disclaimers, emergency protocols, waivers for participants as well as fans and spectators. I'm assuming they sent that text yesterday, whether it was because of what Rhea said or just because they knew that it was approaching 100 degrees. They wanted to feel you two out. And I don't know whether, you know, what agreements you have in place, but I would agree with Richie and James that your response then put them in a really tight spot. Basically, by you saying, if I were you, I wouldn't do this. Now that I don't even think that if if I'm in-house counsel to WIP, I'm no longer.
You can't. You're opening up liability by doing that, is what you're saying.
So you think my response made them more legally in peril?
How could they possibly do it when they've been essentially advised by one of the participants?
Yeah, who's way more in danger than the people standing there. The participants are actually doing the activity.
JC, here's my official response to your comment.
You should keep your mouth shut.
You asked him to call.
What a great
like lawyer,
point.
Please give me a lawyer. Hey, lawyer,
I guarantee. I guarantee, as David read, if I were you, I would postpone it. It was boom, book it, done deal. As soon as
I think he appreciated that
sentence, it was call it off.
Yeah, but here's where I'm a good employee. I think he appreciated it because he knew I had his back. Because what he did not want to do, I'm sure, is postpone it against our understanding. I was giving him, hey, boss man, I understand why you might want to do this. I actually think it's a good idea.
You could have given him legal liability. You could have said, hey, I'm ready to play. I got no issues with this. Use this text message in court if you need to. I'm ready to play. You could have done that.
I won't die. I'm dying to get out there.
Well,
and just said, look, I understand whatever you have to do. However, I want to play.
Yeah.
Okay. You wouldn't have to say, if I were you, I wouldn't.
Well, you got to remember, I aspire to be the president. So David Yagerov, market manager, it's a high position. I think like a president, right? JC, give me an answer. A non-athlete playing sports in a movie or a show.
Will Ferrell in the ice skating movie. I can't.
Well, in that movie, he's that one he's in there. All right, JC, great phone call. He should have gone with Marsha Brady in the freaking football.
What a good answer that would have been.
Right? Could have won.
Love that one.
Ball hits her nose. Did the nose actually break, or was it just black and blue?
It was very black and blue.
It was a classic scene.
I don't know that they ever said it was broken.
Yeah, it was all swollen.
But it was definitely swollen.
She did have the tape on there.
That was so good, man. All right, two different Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet in 2025, Armin Chevy. Celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. First poll question, was it the right decision to postpone tennis yesterday due to extreme heat, yes or no? I am fascinated to see that poll result, although I think it's going to be a lot of no's. Second poll question, do you think the Phils will make a meaningful trade today, yes or no? All right, let's go to the phones, talk to Alex right now in Malvern. Hi, Alex.
Hello, fellas. How we doing?
Doing great, Alex.
All right, we'll put Alex back on hold. He's like the late reaction guy. Let's go to Eric in Mount Laurel. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good morning.
Great, Eric.
Hold on. While you give me a good morning, I give you one of these.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Tiger Woods. Hello, Eric.
Hi. So back to the Phillies. I don't think they're going to make a meaningful move. It seems like everyone's asking so much. Dombrowski's just going to hold his chips. He's going to hope that Justin Crawford and Painter are the prospects of the future. And we've had an opportunity to bring up Crawford. Our outfield is brutal. I mean, center field, Marsh is playing a little bit better in the last couple of days, but between Rojas, Marsh, left field.
It's hard. It's a horrendous outfield. Horrendous.
There's so many opportunities to have showcased Crawford to at least see, hey, what does he have? Do we have something here since he's doing well down in with the Iron Pigs? It's frustrating. I think that they're not going to make a move, or it's going to be very minor, and you're going to see how deflated the fans and how deflated the Harpers, the Schwarbers are in the dugout. You see it when Harper goes down swinging, that he goes back to the dugout and he just sits there and there's no juice, there's no life, and you're going to take the wind out of everyone's
So, Eric, let me tell you something. I broached this yesterday, and I really mean this. I think there is a good chance that the Phillies put more into a trade than they otherwise would want to or choose to because of how frustrated fans are. And that it would actually give Middleton and Dombrowski cover, even if the Phillies don't win the World Series, it gives them cover in the offseason to at least say to the fans, see, guys, we did try. We didn't do nothing. I'm telling you, I think they're going to do something significant that probably stretches the bounds that they want to go to just to give the appearance and also to try to win. Let me be clear. I don't, and this isn't all nefarious. Like, they do want to win. but I think they also want to cover themselves. And that's my honest instincts.
Do you think that the longer they wait, the more it's going to cost them, where it's like almost like a Howie thinking? Howie pays these people ahead of time. Now we're waiting. The offers are just going to say, hey, keep driving the price up.
I think they know that. Dombrowski's been around the block enough to know.
MLB, this is the way it goes. It's just this year the price tag is even higher than normal, and it's just so auspicious.
I think it would be ridiculous to trade Mick Abel for like some random reliever that you have for a year. Now, you got to be really, really good, but they could trade Mick Abel for someone's Sir Anthony. And I like Sir Anthony, but let's say you got a Sir Anthony kind of guy for this year. You shouldn't trade Mick Abel for a guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of this year if he's Sir Anthony. You shouldn't.
Yeah, only like Ryan Helsley.
But I could see them doing it.
Well, Ryan Helsley is an example of a guy. He's like one of the best closers in baseball. Up at the end of the year, he's available from the Cardinals. Yeah. If they traded for him, that would make sense.
And that's a higher level
player.
He is
one of the best closers in the sport. Yeah.
What about tossing in a Marsh or a Rojas?
Well, I'm all for starting every trade package.
I don't think
package.
Rojas is getting
I'd start
anything
every
for
trade
you.
With Rojas, Marsh, and Kepler. And I said, right, pick two out of three. That would be my GMing. All right, Eric, give me an answer here, my man. A great scene with a non-athlete playing some sport.
Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf.
Oh, great.
No, it's organized sports. That don't work.
What?
No, he's on a team. We said earlier, it can't be organized sports. He's on a team. It can't be that you don't look like an athlete. In that movie, he's on a team. That's the Bad News Bears example. Lupus is a freaking athlete in Bad News Bears. Yeah. It's the Top Gun thing where you're a fighter pilot and you go play volleyball. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, John. I don't understand this distinction.
One is organized sports and one is not organized sports. One, there is a referee. There's a fans in the stands. Like another is volleyball on a beach.
Does it matter?
Another is a guy playing softball with his buddies. Like it's that type of thing.
Yeah, it's a clear distinction. I mean, like in Wedding Crashers, it's just...
Football in the yard.
Random football.
Yeah, just playing football.
Old school is you know, gymnastics at a school in a ridiculous thing, you know?
Exactly. All right, Salisbury. We had Jim Salisbury on the show yesterday, the aforementioned trade deadline, something we talked a ton to Jim Salisbury about yesterday. I would say that he feels, based on what he said, pretty confident that the Phillies are going to do something, and something of significance. He can't prove it. He can't know it for sure, but that's what his instincts tell him. Let's listen to what Salisbury said to us yesterday.
Yeah, I do think the time is now, and I think they know that, and I think they're willing to part with multiples of high-level prospects. I mean, it's been a while around here since they've had this this many good prospects at the top of their system. I don't think the system is really deep, but they have a handful of guys at the upper echelon, and they are willing to part with a few of those to get where they need to go. They know they need a strong bullpen arm at the back, somebody who's been there, done that, and get some strikeouts. They also know they need a bat, and they're talking about both. They'd like to do both, but I do believe they'll do something aggressive on Thursday. I do believe the guys they're going to give up are going to make you stand up and take notice, and it's going to hurt a little bit.
That last line is noteworthy. Yep. You know,
it stuck out to me.
Yeah.
We're trading away the future for the here and now. And it's going to.
Do you guys agree with me that they will do more than they are like comfortable with because
100%.
They don't want a fan base that is so.
It's less about the fan base to me and more about what Salisbury said about the players.
Because
John Kruk has referenced it for years. That they thought they were getting
Randy Johnson. Yeah, in 93.
And that had to be a gut punch.
Yeah, Crocker told me that they celebrated and partied one night that they were getting Randy Johnson, and then they didn't, and then the players were disappointed.
Yeah. I think it's way more. When you say veteran players, I'm thinking Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos, Zach Wheeler. That's in my mind.
So I will tell you this, Rhea. I honestly believe the fan, and this is debatable, I think the fan thing is an even bigger thing. They know that people are in a bad mood, even though they have a quality team. And that's got to kind of freak them out a little bit. Because if they show back up next year, I've even thought about us doing the radio show next year. Let's say the Phillies get to the second round of the playoffs this year and get eliminated. Very possible. Next year, John, we'd be having the same conversation. A little bit of difference. Maybe this guy's gone and this guy's in. But, like, same basic themes. I'd be the guy saying, well, yeah, they've lost 4 years in a row, but they could win this year because they could. But, like, it's going to deflate. It's going to just further deflate. Oh, by the way, we better get used to it, guys, because they are going to make the playoffs, I think, a bunch of years ahead. And more often than not, they're going to get eliminated in the postseason. That's what happens.
Okay.
That's what happens. But yes. I think that they are freaked out by the negativity in town and will do something to try to give you a 3-month spur of action.
Good.
And also, at least in the offseason, be able to say, yeah, we went down, but at least we went down swinging.
Good, because we haven't gone down swinging the last couple
they
of
haven't.
Years. And
that's fair.
I can't wait to see what that looks like. It's a bat and a reliever, and that's including taking one or two of our starters and sending them to the bullpen. I'm excited to see what that bullpen could look like, and whatever this bat provides, I hope it's the power and 30-plus home runs.
Well, I hope so, too.
Could be a name that we haven't talked
could
about.
Be.
Probably lots of home runs coming, though.
I also think, like, it's not solely the fans. It's, you know, they know how special the starting rotation is, and you can't waste that. You can't just, you know, fizzle out in the
really
fall.
It really is that special.
Yeah, when the postseason rolls around, and you have to capitalize now, and you have to bring in the pieces that can help you do that right now.
Well, especially if Wheeler is going to retire in 2 years.
Exactly.
One more thing on the fan thing, and this has been my mind the last couple of days. I still go back to when the Phillies signed Bryce Harper and what John Middleton said about
the Todd Zelecki poll.
Yeah. Right? I mean, James, tell people about that that don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, when he signed Bryce Harper, he mentioned, he didn't say it was the reason, but he alluded to the fact that he saw a poll that Todd Zelecki had put up where it was Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, and it was 90% or something wanted Bryce Harper, 87% something. And he was like, yeah, I saw that. I noticed it. Like, he didn't say it was the main reason they went Harper, but he acknowledged that he had seen it and that that was a part of the discussion.
I'm sure they listen to WIP and hear how negative it's been at many twists and turns this year, which is, I'll use the word ironic or a little ridiculous, because they do have a good team. I mean, they do.
But
anyway.
you mentioned that to Jim Salisbury, and he said that the upper echelons of the team don't really think much differently than the fans are.
Well, Middleton is a fan.
I understand
Middleton
that.
Middleton is a Philadelphia sports fan.
But they know their failings. That's what I'm saying. They're not putting their head. You've heard no pushback from the Phillies on the complaints that people have had about them this year. You really
haven't. But they really can't. What can they say?
What I'm saying.
They can't come out and say, "Well, we're really trying, guys."
But you
because
hear
they
teams
look ridiculous.
Do that. I mean, you know, you've got that. You know, I know they're a bad example. But
remember,
you know,
in
the Sixers.
But remember in spring training,
done it.
How
like,
awkward their answers were awkward. Because imagine 3 years in a row, you make a charge, you lose. I mean, we could be 2 years from now, they'd be 5 years. I mean, James, how do you answer that question in spring training 5 years, you know?
Well, we chased less than the last year, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I heard that.
It's just, they really need a breakthrough. They really need a breakthrough.
Nobody knows that better than John. John, didn't you sign here when the Eagles had gone to, what, like four NFC champions? And you couldn't believe, like,
three or four.
Yeah, like,
and
what, you know, what's the deal?
I got...
Well, two. It had been two. You were here for the third and the fourth NFC Championship.
Oh, okay, the third and the fourth. Yeah. Well, when I arrived in town, it was April and for the off-season program. And so, you know, I was it was so cool just walking into Wawa and seeing people. And everyone, to a man, was Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. I couldn't believe the focus was skipping the entire regular season, the entire postseason, and jumping immediately into the Super Bowl. But the expectation started at winning the NFC Championship game because we had fallen short repeatedly. Because Andy Reid had fallen short repeatedly.
Bad playoff losses. That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
There was an insistence. There was an extra level of that. And you can feel the same thing at work right now. It's unspoken, but there's this unspoken insistence that you better get there or else we are, like, there's a starting point, a bare minimum requirement that you must meet.
Yeah. All right. Are you smarter than a 12th grader? Well, we're about to find out if I am, James Seltzer, smarter than a 12th grader.
Are you smarter than a 12th grader?
That's so cheesy. All right, let's welcome our 12th grader to the room here. As his name is Sean. Is his microphone on, James? You got it's on. His name is Sean. Sean, good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
All right, talk right into that microphone. How are you, Sean?
I'm good.
Welcome to WIP, my man.
Thank you.
You just relax, settle in. I'm not going to... Hold on. Am I going to... Am I going to... This is always a tough one for me, Sean, because you know Hammer's style is to, you know, I mean, what I do is, you know, when I'm about to play someone who's, you know, I know I'm going to kick his ass, I say...
Can't wait!
But I don't know if I'm going to, you know, kick that patootie. I don't know. I mean, listen...
Patootie.
Well, you know, I mean, he might be 17. I don't know if I can say the word ass.
I think they know the word ass.
I don't know. I don't know the rules. Sean, this is always uncomfortable for me because I have a style that is generally a gloating, peacocking style. But, you know, you're on the more young side, so I'm in a tough spot here. All right. Now, I heard only a few minutes ago that you attend St. Joe's Prep. Sean, God bless you. James has stacked it against me this year.
You know, this year.
I thought you knew that.
I did not know that.
Because he told me that. I turned and looked at you and laughed because I'm like, of course he brings in a prep
until the commercial break. I mean, I heard it about 30 seconds before you heard it.
Wow.
I had just heard it before you heard it.
Okay.
Now, let's also say hello. They're not on microphone, but we want to acknowledge Sean's father, Sean, and his mother, Susan. Fine folks. So, James, tell the audience the backstory of Susan tracking you down through the years to try to get Sean to be
the contestant. Susan's the reason that Sean is in today. Shout out to Susan. They were in the running last year, one of the finalists. I hadn't really thought about that, but kids can, you know, as we go up each year, they age into the next grade.
Yeah.
So tried to get him for 11th grader, was one of the finalists, didn't get in, wrote a great email. I had a few people I was deciding between and making sure everyone could be here and all that, and Susan just stuck out with the St. Joe's Prep thing and the wanting to be a part of this for a while. So... I thought it was a great choice.
Well, Sean, we congratulate you on being selected. I know James does try to find a smarty. I mean, the whole idea is to beat me. What part of the Delaware Valley are you from?
I live in Bryn Mawr.
Bryn Mawr. Very nice. And I'm guessing, I don't know, you have a relatively high GPA at the prep, correct?
It's relatively high.
Nice.
Yeah? Do you want to divulge? You don't have to.
It's like a 4-2 weight in.
Whoa! Okay. All right.
Wow. Buddy, let's go.
I got two issues with that.
I didn't even know this for what it's worth. This is great.
4-2-8.
Yeah, number one, I don't like the weighted.
It's like we grew up with 4.0, and that was the pinnacle.
I don't think the prep had weighted when I was there, but then again, I would have no shot
close
to be above 4.0 anyway.
You were trying to be all weighted.
So maybe the people in my year were above 4.0. I just wasn't in that stratosphere. All right. Now, Sean, do you feel relaxed? I want you to feel good here, man.
Yeah, like, I feel really confident.
Because sometimes we get... Wow.
Whoa. Hey, now. Wow. I like that.
Wow.
That was good.
Right there.
All right, Sean, now that you go there, I go here.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Let's find out. Let's find out, punk. All right. John, who do you think...
I've never seen such a composed contestant.
Well, they're getting older.
Are you smarter than? Yeah. I'll say.
All right, James, remind the audience and us how the rules work here, because this is different than Beat the Hammer.
It's different than Beat the Hammer.
What happens?
So we will have 10 questions. The way that works, I will ask a question. You will buzz in, you know, say buzz or answer, raise your hand, however you want to do. I think buzz is probably better for the radio because people can actually hear.
So you want us to say so I don't leave the room.
No, you're both at the same time. It's whoever gets the answer first. So
we have to, you want us to literally say the word buzz and then we got the floor for about 3 to 5 seconds?
Yeah, to
I
take
don't know,
the answer.
Though.
Like 3 seconds. You got to answer
it.
Fast.
What
about
it.
Saying, what about actually saying
the answer?
Yeah, that's fine too. We can go either way.
I think the answer.
Okay, let's go the answer then.
Because if you say buzz, you
it gives
could
you a chance to stop and think for a second. Okay, all right, so you have to say the answer. I'm fine with that.
All right, Sean, you got
to
say the answer.
The first person to say the answer out loud, if you are wrong, the other person gets their 3 to 5 seconds or whatever to answer.
You got this. So, Sean, if you answer it and you're wrong, you or me, whoever is out for that round, the other person will have 3 to 5 seconds to compose themselves, come up with an answer. If they get it right, they get it. If not, we move on to the next question.
Got it.
All right, James, it's 10 questions?
10 questions, a mix of science and math and history and English.
No sports.
No sports. No. No sports, no pop culture, no none of that. It's all stuff that theoretically should have learned in school by the time that Sean has gotten to. I do my best. I haven't been in 12th grade for 25 years. So, you know, a lot of research on the internet.
I will just say this. If there
that.
Is a question that involves something to do with math that's more than... Remember like when the calculator got really big? You guys remember this?
Yeah.
Because I was used to add, subtract.
So here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say.
All of a sudden, there was like 75 things on a calculator. I'm like, what the hell is this?
You mean physically big?
Yes.
I thought you were talking about like the rise of the calculator.
No, the 11th or 12th grade calculator.
Oh, yeah,
I hate
the
that
giant
thing.
Calculators.
Here's what I'll say.
Brutal.
Here's what I'll say. These questions are designed for a radio bit. They are meant to be easy and quick to answer. I'm not like there's
no large calculators.
Yeah, there are a couple where you might have to do a little thinking or whatever. But
well, if I got no chemistry, no calculus, I'm good.
Well, I didn't say that. It is meant to be for radio, so you know.
Okay.
Trying to be able to do this in the next 10 minutes. Or so.
So, Sean, you're ready to rock?
I'm ready.
And then James, if we're tied, we go into some kind of overtime.
Yeah, I have tiebreaker questions.
All right. I'm a little nervous. I'm 7-0.
I like that.
In Are You Smarter Than? But I feel like, I mean, I'm going up against a prep guy. I feel like this might be my demise. By the way, know this. There is a chance to honor the prep that I will throw this competition.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because, you know.
Can't do that.
Want to just postpone it because it's hot in here?
I might want the first.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very proud of that one. Thank you.
Had you been planning that all day?
No, I just popped in my head there.
God, you're a dorkazoid. That was a pretty good line, James. All right, James is saying, cut that audio for dropping the week.
I just told Justin to 100%.
God, you're a dork. All right, let's go. All right, you feel ready, Sean?
All right, Sean? Here we go.
All right,
Sean,
hey, Sean, hold on. Official handshake. Good luck to you, buddy.
Love.
I don't want you to be nervous with anywhere between 100,000 to 1,000,000 people listening.
Don't listen to him.
Just
it's
try
just
not
us
to
in
dwell.
Because
listen, Sean, like,
just us hanging out.
Home in honor. You don't want to bring dishonor to your family. All right.
I know.
All right, here you will not, Sean. Don't worry.
I don't know.
The radio bit.
The audience will be the judge of that. The audience will be the judge.
All right, you ready here?
I'm ready.
But I am
very nervous.
All right, here we go. Question number one.
Okay.
What is the capital of Canada?
Ottawa.
Boom! 1-0.
Holy cow.
Quick. It is Ottawa. Absolutely
deep
correct.
Ass trouble.
Wow.
Ottawa is correct. Question number two. What are the prime factors of the number 24?
12, 2, 6, 4.
The prime factors. So that's incorrect.
Oh,
okay.
He knows it too. Sean knows where he went wrong.
Stop talking. Prime factors, number 24, I will say are 2, 4, and 6.
No.
I have no idea.
3 is the correct answer.
What does that mean?
Prime factor is the smallest number that cannot be divisible by anything other than 1.
Okay.
So essentially 4, you could divide it by 2. So it's not a prime factor.
Okay.
You understand?
Not really, but let's move.
That's fine. Let's move on. Still 1-0. All right. Question number 3.
By the way, dwell on that L right there, Sean. All right, let's go.
All right. Question number 3. Yeah, you nailed it.
You took
question
an
number
L
3.
Too.
What was the name of the first successful permanent English settlement in North America?
Jamestown.
Correct.
Wow.
1-1.
I needed that.
1-1. A good pull by the hammer there.
What was the one that got wiped out?
Roanoke.
Okay.
All right. Question number 3.
4.
Sorry. You're correct. It is question number 4. 1-1. I was thinking of the 1-1. All right. Here we go. Question number 4. What is the slowest animal in the world?
Snail.
Incorrect. Joe, you have 3 seconds.
Tortoise.
No. It's the three. It's not a bad guess. Three-toed sloth is the slowest animal.
Oh my!
All right, we're still tied at 1-1.
I thought it was Todd Pratt.
I don't think that was the worst answer. It was okay. At least
I thought both answers were good.
Yeah, I agree. I thought both answers were good. All right, question number 5. What is it called when a gas changes into a liquid?
Condensation.
Bang! 2-1. Easy. Well done, Sean. All right, here we go. Question number 6.
Boy, I had a really inappropriate comment to make with
I'll
that
bet
one.
I you did, buddy.
Really, really inappropriate.
Question
and it begins with the letter S.
Okay, you didn't have to keep going there. Question number 6. Who wrote the book Fahrenheit 451?
George Orwell.
Incorrect.
Bradbury.
Correct. 2-2. Ray Bradbury wrote Fahrenheit 451.
We're in it. We're in it, baby.
We're in it.
Bang!
That's good stuff. All right, 4 questions to go. Question number 7. Here we go. What type of triangle are sine and cosine associated with?
Right.
Correct. 3-2. Sean takes the lead. Right triangle is the correct answer there. Question number 8, 3-2 lead. This is good. Here we go.
Not happy with that one.
Which ancient figure is credited as the founder of Western philosophy?
Aristotle.
Incorrect.
Socrates.
Correct.
3-3.
Steals it.
3-3.
Socrates is correct. 2 questions left.
That's right, baby. That's
how
you do. That's what you do. By the way, let me say this. Let me also say this because I haven't said this in a couple months.
Carson stinks. Right. I'm happy you threw that in there. Well done. All right, two more questions. We got a 3-3 tie. This is riveting.
How do you feel, Sean?
Good.
Because I think you're the betting favorite.
Sean's been good, man.
But you're the Fritz to my hammer. All right, let's go.
All right, question number 9.
By the way, Sean's mom is dying right now.
I love it. Shout out to Susan.
She wants her boy to win. Problem
She's
is my mom. My
here.
Mom might be listening. She wants me to win. Mom, it's okay to root for Sean. mom and Dee, it's okay to root for Sean.
Who is Fritz's mom rooting for?
Oh well, mommy and daddy. Good question. All right, let's go.
All right.
Two more, James.
I'm Spike Eskin.
Yes, that is correct. Two more questions. Here we go. Question number 9. What part of an atom has no electric charge?
Neutron.
Boom! 4-3. Hammer has to get this question to win. It all comes down to this. Question number 10. Exciting. Here we go. What is the only continent that resides in all four hemispheres?
North America.
Incorrect. Sean is one. Africa's correct. Just for the hammer. 5-3. We got to win.
Yes.
Let me say this. Congratulations to Sean. Sean, good job, buddy. I went with that. I was hoping Alaska wrapped around somewhere. I didn't. I just thought Alaska's long.
Sean missed the prime fact. He knew it immediately. I heard him say 2, and then he stopped himself. He was going to say 2 and 3.
The pride of the prep. Sean. From Bryn Mawr. Did you say Bryn Mawr? Is that where you're from?
Yeah, Bryn Mawr.
From Bryn Mawr.
Shout out to Sean,
the
buddy.
The pride of the prep. Rising senior. Sean, where are you going to be going to college? I'm not really sure.
It's just where I get into.
Where are you looking to apply to?
Like USC, UChicago, probably like Penn State.
Nice,
man. Anyway, so maybe USC might not be listening.
My cousin went to USC and loved it.
If someone from Penn State is listening, make sure Sean gets in. I mean, I think he's going to be getting in on his own anyway. USC and all these schools.
Do you think he can add this to his college applications?
Yeah, first one, the hammer.
Sean, you did it, man. Nice show.
You finally lost at this.
Awesome
we job. Thought you were going to lose every single year, and then you just started winning. And
James, nice questions. You did a good job.
Thanks, man.
Very solid questions.
And I will say that it went until the very
that
end.
That was a
the
really great competition.
The last few questions.
Yes.
I think that's the best since the first year in terms of. We had that tiebreaker, but it was kind of not as. That was like really good. You guys got the questions. That was good work.
Now, let me say this, Sean. You didn't say it because it was behind you. I think you missed it. I could be wrong. The best moment was your mom and dad's slapping five high five when you won. Good job, Sean. Congratulations to Sean. Are you Sean Sr.? The father, the third, the fourth, who knows how many there are. Father Sean, mother Susan, son Sean. Sean, hang out for a second. Let's take a phone call. Stay on here. Let's do some sports talk radio. Let's go to Alex in Malvern. Alex, good morning.
How we doing, everybody? Congratulations, Sean.
Indeed. Go ahead and talk, Sean.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, with all this Phillies trade talk, I feel like it's just, from my perspective, just chalk up the season and see how far we can go now. I'm tired of, waiting. It's always too little too late, I feel like.
Yeah, but you can't. But Alex, let me say this, man. You can't let that. That's not rational and reasonable. I understand what you're saying. You're frustrated they haven't made a trade yet. But like most of the teams haven't made a trade yet. Most of the trades are going to happen in the next 36 hours. Like, there's a reason why the teams with the players that they're going to trade hold on to them. The best offers usually come in the latest. So I would just advise you to not throw in the towel in the trade deadline just because they haven't made one yet. That's not wise.
I think my train of thought there comes from the fact that, like, we could pull it together. We don't know. I love the idea of riding out with the team that we have now, and maybe it could even be a Cinderella story if they do have bullpen problems for the next couple of weeks and we still win.
Well, it's not a Cinderella story. They are one of the better teams in baseball. I mean, we can't lose. Right. You know what, John? I try to come back to that. We can't lose track of the fact they are one of the
Please
better teams in baseball.
Do not lose
well, they
track.
They are, but
we're
500
a half game
since
out
June
of first.
First
in our division. We are going to the postseason if we are
when we enter the postseason. Sure.
But it's very likely.
I'm planning on it. And when we enter that tournament in the postseason, if this group's hot. If this group's hot, what is the limit? There is the being hot or
limit,
not.
The limit is winning the World Series.
Bring in someone who's going to help them be hot.
Joe, let me ask you a question.
They have every chance to win the World Series because of this pitching staff.
If they fail again.
In the playoffs?
In the playoffs.
Yep.
Are we going to be proud of them after this season?
Not this time.
Okay. No. I want that on the record.
Yeah, I'm with John. If it's in the World Series, I am proud of them.
Yes.
I'm very proud of them.
I expect World Series.
Do you disagree with that, Rhea?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm sorry.
It's too tough a standard.
You got to stop with the pride stuff.
No, if a team gets to the World Series and loses,
I'll tell you, if they battle their ass off in the seventh in Game 7, I'll think about it. But pride is not something, you know, this team.
Were you proud of the 93 Phils?
I love them, but I was.
Of course you were proud.
Yeah, but they weren't. There was no expectation.
Well, I know there wasn't.
So that's completely different.
But getting to the World Series and losing.
This team is stacked.
I think the idea of, like, you guys stink and you're bums.
I didn't
bums.
Say stink. There's a difference between stink and I'm proud of
them. I think what you're saying, though, is...
To me, it's disappointment.
Nah, but you're saying you're down on them.
If they don't win a World Series and lose in
the World Series, you're saying you're down on them. I'm saying that's not fair.
I said I'll be very disappointed.
But wouldn't you also be down on them?
Yeah, disappointment is being down on them.
No, not down. Down on them.
Yeah.
No, I don't agree
100%.
With that. I just don't. That's not the standard that I, as a fan, take to it. But listen, many people are like that. All right, Alex, give me a great scene with a non-athlete trying to play a sport.
Because of questioning of how the question actually supposed to go, I do have two. My first instinct right away is Point Break. We've got Johnny Utah playing football on the beach.
Wow.
That's a great answer.
Wow.
Yeah, Bodie doing it. It's a great answer.
Yeah,
you can only pick one.
Are you saying you're going with a different answer?
We can only pick it's his first answer. We always
take the first. That's what I'm going with. But if because, you know, Johnny Utah was a football player, you know, you were saying, oh, well, he
But that's not an organized sport. He was a former college football player.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's how they knew who he was. They're like, you don't recognize him? That's Johnny Utah.
Alex, we'll put it down. We got you. Point Break. Point Break's a great movie. My God.
It's a great answer.
All right. Sean, nice job, buddy. Have a wonderful trip home.
Sean, you freaking rule, dude.
Are you 17
Thank
or 18?
You.
How old are you?
I'm 17. I'm turning 18 next year.
Man.
Sean, by the way, now you can't say he's undefeated in this anymore. I can't tell you how happy that makes us. Sean, I'm getting out of my chair here.
Gonna give you a standing ovation. Nice job, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, there he is. Coming off something Cooper DeJean said to us earlier this week about his position, where he will play or might not play or where he wants to play, all of that. What Cooper DeJean said about the options with him on defense, that plus calls on all these topics. Coming up next on 94 WIP.
This July, Cozy Jewelers is celebrating 35 years of love, sparkle, and family tradition. For generations, you've trusted Cozy for life's biggest moments. And now it's your turn to step up to the fifth C. Color, cut, clarity, carat, and Cozy. As a family-owned business, Cozy treats every customer like one of their own. Celebrate 35 years of quality with Cozy Jewelers in Newtown Square, where memories begin and sparkle lasts forever.